It is late at night, 2 in the morning, let's say, and you have just finally found the resolve to tear yourself away from the cable news and the Facebook and the doom scrolling. You've been two-fisting your media all night, just consuming everything about everything going on in the world. And even though you've managed to get yourself into bed, you're not sleeping. See, none of the news is all that good. Turmoil is happening all around the world. Divisions are stark and frightening at home. Everything is different from what it was just 4 years ago, today even. It's just all too much for you to bear. You know something has to shift. You know something has to give. And you know things are going to change, perhaps in a way you're not ready to deal with. Or you are ready to deal with, but that doesn't change the fact that it's going to be different. And that just feels like a weight. And so you decide to do what you do when you get into these world-weary, anxious places. You decide to book yourself on a cruise. And a lovely cruise opportunity just happens to come your way. Starting in Athens, you'll board the ship of Theseus and take a turn around the Indian and Pacific Oceans, going through the Suez Canal. You'll be on it for weeks. It sounds like the perfect getaway. And so that's what you do. You board the ship of Theseus, and on that first night, you're standing on deck, looking out over the Mediterranean, the moon shining down on the waters, and you're thinking how placid and how lovely it is at this time of year to be here right now. And you find yourself in conversation with an old hand from the ship, someone who's sailed this cruise many times before. You enjoying the ship? They ask. Very much, yes, this is lovely. You know, this is not the real ship of Theseus, right? What do you mean? Well, you're sailing on a thought experiment right now. Did you know that? You are right now on board a metaphor that is all about construction and change and challenge and identity. You thought you were getting away from it, but you're sailing on it right now. The ship of Theseus is an ancient thought experiment. It's been around since the ancient Greeks. And it goes something like this. Theseus brings home the youth of Athens after they had been kidnapped off in Crete with King Minos. And as a celebration and as a memorial to the great feat he achieved, the Athenians leave his ship in the harbor as a memorial, a permanent memorial to the good that he did. And it sits there for 1,000 years. But wood being wood and water being water and salt water, especially being salt water, things start to break down over time. Planks rot, sails get holes in them, things get dirty and dusty. And so little by little, 1 year at a time, a plank gets changed out on the ship. The most rotted one gets replaced by a brand new plank, and this happens every year, over the span of 1,000 years, every component of the ship, sail at a time, mast, everything is replaced. And the question is this still Theseus's ship? Is it the same thing it was when it was planted in the harbor as a memorial that millennia ago? We've been going through the values as they're being presented in the revised Article 2 of the Unitarian Universalist Association. Our value for the month of March is transformation. We adapt to the changing world. We covenant to collectively transform and grow spiritually and ethically. Openness to change is fundamental to our Unitarian and Universalist heritages, never complete and never perfect. And some people have a hard time with this one, because transformation is a big concept and a big word, and I don't really want to transform. I kind of like how I am right now. I like how we are right now. Things are pretty good. Why do we need to change? The world is changing, but we are the way we should be. Let's not change anything. But I want to focus on that openness to change in the value here. Because here's our given for this morning. Change happens. It just does. And it's not a good thing necessarily, it's not a bad thing necessarily, it's just a thing that happens over time. It occurs without our desire for it or a welcome, and sometimes it occurs because we put our hands in and create the change. Change is literally written into our own DNA. Adolescence is all about reordering our brain to put aside the things we don't need for our baby survival anymore and start moving into adulthood. Crawling gets supplanted by learning and deep thinking, maybe. Now, sometimes a change happens over geologic time. And sometimes it happens suddenly and out of our control completely. I am reminded today on Facebook that today is the 4th anniversary of when we made the decision to close the building up for the foreseeable future. Sometimes we have no control. And sometimes when things start to get chaotic, we make a choice to change things rather than stay stable. No matter what the circumstances, it happens. And the reason we resist so much is because the question left to us is, who are we? Who am I? If change occurs, when change occurs, when the chaos and the turmoil and the uncertainty enters the world, who am I? If I change, am I still the ship of Theseus? For 2,000 years, various solutions and answers have been posited for the thought experiment of the ship of Theseus. One such solution is the idea that constitution does not equal identity, that the pieces that make up the thing are not the thing. It has an identity that extends beyond the mere construction of the ship itself. And more recently, a theory called the continued identity theory has been posited as the solution for this. As long as the change happens, as it does slowly over time, as long as it happens in little pieces here and there, not a complete change in one fell swoop, but an adjustment over here and a replacement over here, because it's happening over time, the identity of the thing remains the same. The ship of Theseus is still the ship of Theseus, because that's what we decided it was when we set it up as a memorial in the harbor. That was its purpose, and it still serves that. But our hang-up is, of course, humans being human, we don't want to do it. We don't want to deal with it. Sure, identity over time, sure. Constitution's not identity, fine. I still don't like the change because it throws me off balance. It knocks me off my comfort base. It means I gotta dance around and find my feet again. I need stasis. I need the status quo because it's familiar and because it's comfortable. This is the concept of homeostasis. Things have a certain order to them, and then something happens that throws that order into complete chaos, and then that thing stops, and hopefully we go back to that order again once the crisis has ended. And sometimes that's how things work out. Sometimes we have a moment of chaos and we go right back to the way things were. It was a blip in the radar, but the world does not always work that way. No matter how much we might try to force things back to the way they were, change comes, and it comes in waves, back and forth across time, echoing, battering the little ship that we are on. And as the father of American mindfulness movement, Jon Kabat-Zinn, has said, you can't stop the waves from crashing into you, but you can learn to surf. Now, I don't know about you, but that looks unsettling. That is not a thing that I think I want to learn how to do, right? There's just too much risk involved. It's too shaky. In fact, you were offered the opportunity to take surfing lessons as an excursion package on your cruise, and you absolutely did not sign up for that because, yes, it's too shaky, it's too dangerous, there's too much of a chance that you'll get sucked underwater and carried off with the power of the waves. No, thank you very much. You found some stability on this thought experiment you're sailing on, and you're just going to stay on the ship for now, and that's what you do. In fact, you take a nice long nap, 36 hours, let's say, and you awake to find that the ship of Theseus has pulled into the bay of Issei in the island of Honshu in Japan. And you get on board the buses as you disembark the ship, and you take the ride in to the city, and you come to the shrine at Issei. It was built round about the year 4 before the Common Era, round about the same time Jesus was born. It was built to honor the chief goddess of the Japanese tradition, Amaterasu, the sun goddess. And as part of the homage to the sun goddess, the shrine, at least two of the buildings within its campus, are rebuilt every 20 years. They finish building the structures, and then they start planning for the next round of building, and then they start building it again on a little plot of land next to the other building, back and forth, 20 years at a time, mostly. And they do this out of a spirit of what they call tokowaka, which means eternal youth, or more likely, the celebration and acknowledgement of the cycle of ongoing birth and death, and rebirth and death over and over again. The rising of the sun they honor, and the setting of the sun. It is an intentional act. This sort of change is planned on their part because the change is part of the way that they honor what they believe. And over the 2,000 or so years that they have been doing this, the building has not remained exactly the way it looks every time through each building. Little adjustments happen over time. the Buddhists come into Japan and their art style starts to influence things, and all of a sudden the simple timber buildings now have copper and gold adornments and decoration on them. That was not there before. And even now, the traditional wood supply that they put together from the local forests isn't there anymore. So they're going far afield to pull in the lumber, farther afield than they've ever gone before. And the same with the workers who build the buildings. They don't come from the local area at all anymore. Some do, but they're going farther and farther afield to find the people who are trained to do the specific work that is being done, to move into this constant cycle of building and rebuilding. And that's all very well and good. You know, there's priests to handle that and there's volunteers to handle that, but you know, they're just doing a thing. But no. In the midst of the building, the people from the surrounding villages all come together and come with two stones to place at the bases of one of the temples and at the base of the bridge that crosses over to them. The whole community is taking part in this constant cycle of the rebuilding. So are the buildings the same? Physically, no. Is the process of how they're built changed? Little bits over time, adapting to the changing world. But it's still the shrine at Issei. Because of the intentional participation, the intention in the cycle of building it, and then building it anew again, back and forth, honoring the cycle that it was built to honor in the first place. We love stasis. We love to know where we are. I have put my feet on the ground and I know where I'm standing, and it's solid and it's not going to shift. And I want to go back to it if things get a little uncomfortable, a little chaotic. But we can't always go back to the way things were. Peter Sterling, a neurologist, back in the 80s, coined the term allostasis, literally stability through change. An acknowledgement that sometimes things cannot go back to the way they were. Sometimes things change so much in ways we can't control that we are moving ourselves into, and I'm so tired of this phrase, but it works, the new normal. We know where we are, and change and chaos occurs. Something shakes everything up. And then we move into stability, but it's not the same stability that was back at point X. We've gone from X to Y to Z now, Z being a new solid base for us to stand on, maybe made up of components of what came before and what we learned in that period of chaos, maybe a completely new thing. The healthy platform, according to Sterling, is a moving target, not a thing to return to. And it involves being able to accept the things we have no control over while solving the problems that we can. It's very similar to the three stages of spiritual maturity that Richard Rohr, the Franciscan priest and spiritual writer, talks about: order, disorder, reorder. We know who we are, Something shakes us up. We come out of the shakeup into something different, but still stable. We've learned things and cannot be who we were at point X again. Reorder, according to Rohr, is the most dangerous step, or at least unknowable. For people who know where they are, they're at that point X, they know who they are and how things should be, the idea of reorder sounds absolutely dangerous. For people who are in the midst of the shakeup, the idea of reorder just sounds unknowable. I don't even have time to imagine what the future looks like. I'm just trying to get through the present. And this, according to Rohr, is where faith, hope, and love come in. Faith being the essential thing in his mind. If you are not trained in a trust of both love and mystery, he writes, and also some ability to hold on to anxiety and paradox, you will not proceed very far on your spiritual journey. In fact, you will often run back to stage one when the going gets tough. Love is the source and the goal of what we are trying to return to. Faith is the slow process of getting there, he writes. And hope is the willingness to move forward without resolution or closure. Faith is that patience with mystery that allows you to negotiate the stages of life and move toward a non-egocentric love. And in a lot of ways, that's really the source of our discomfort with change. If we change, I change, and I like me, so let's not change. Working our way to a non-egocentric love. And so here we are, off on a cruise, from birth to death, on our own little blue boat home. Change happens. We know it. We're sitting in the middle of it now. A lot has happened to us just in the last few years. And we're looking to find the order out of all of that again. We want to find that place of stability. A lot is about to happen. It's another election year. And here at home, in just a few short months, it's going to be a different face up here with all of you every Sunday. Change happens. Some of it's brought on by turmoil in the world. Some of it's just brought on by the rhythm of life. But it happens. And it's happening. The question is, how are we participating in it? How are we using our hands and our hearts and our bodies in the ongoing cycle of change in ourselves and our communities? How are we forging a path to reorder? Several weeks later, you arrive home from your cruise. All the turmoil left behind is still right there waiting for you. You have not resettled your mind at all, but you have found some reorder for yourself in the experiences that you had. Change and anxiety still abound, but there's a way through. Know the essence of who you are, of who we are as a community. Love the essence of who we are enough to want to see it survive. And no, not just survive, to want to see it thrive, no matter what the world is tossing at us. Accept the things you cannot change. There's that darn serenity prayer again. But also embrace the things you know are within your hands to grasp and have a role to play in and have a say in. And when you've got all that down, learn to surf or dance or improvise, however it is that you remain flexible in the face of everything, however it is you stay open to the opportunities within the chaos, to the new things that might make a difference. And now that we're surfing, get to work. Get to the work of rebuilding, building and rebuilding, ongoing, ever and ever, in our own selves, in the communities we are part of. Rebuild in a way that reflects the true essence that we love so much, the essence of the thing, whatever it is. In a way that honors the place we were in and everything that came before us, and acknowledges the present as it is head on, and reaches for the future that we have yet to realize. So book your cruise on the ship of Theseus today, folks. May it be so.